Most Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, O Lord. We thank you for your love. As you approach that word this morning, our Father, we ask that you lead us into all truth, Father. Guide us, Lord, into the understanding of thy word. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You may be seated. We have finished. We are on our subject on adoption. All right. Or the main title will be the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, last week we have finished off with this introduction. Let us go to the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. There are a lot of verses to turn to, but we need to really read them. And I want you to be familiarized with the those verses. All right. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of the Lord, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children then are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. Now we, as I said last week, when we are born again, the moment that we are born again, now, if you do not know whether you are born again or not, as I said this, I cannot tell you whether you are born again or not. Nobody can tell you whether you are born again or not. It is your own experience with the Lord. Your own relationship with the Lord. It is the Spirit of God that bears witness with your spirit that you are His child. If you don't have this witness of the Spirit in your life, that you are God's child, then you are not certain. Then you will not be known. You will not know whether you are born again or not. Then until you seek the face of God, until the Lord give you a witness of His Spirit into your life, then you know that you are born again. Alright, so once you are born again, you receive the spirit of adoption. Alright? Once you are born again, you have the spirit of adoption. Now, don't forget that. I said last week that this teaching that is in the Philippines, they say that when you are born again, you take about 3 years as a Christian before you are adopted by God. That is not true. Alright? Once you are born again, as I said, that we are sinners. We are born into this world not knowing our Father, not knowing our Heavenly Father. So we are being tossed to around the world, we'll be kicked around like orphans. You know, filthy, dirty, filled with sin. And God came down and give us His life. Okay, give us His name. So He adopted us. You understand? Once we receive the Spirit of life, once we receive the Word, and I say this, you're born again of the Word of God. You are born of the water of the word and the spirit of life. So the moment you hear the word of God, you receive the word, and the word of God is life. Jesus said, the word I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Do you get it? So once you have the spirit of God, you have that life. And that life is given to you because the spirit of God is in his word and it quickens you. And you will receive His life. And so when you receive His life, He imparts and He seals you. And because of that, it is because of the spirit of adoption that He gave to us. So we can call Him Abba Father. We can call Him my Heavenly Father, my Father. Okay, so once we are adopted, we don't have the spirit of God did not give us a spirit of bondage here, as the Bible says. We are no longer being tied to the world. We are free from sin. And so we walk with Him as a child of God. Okay? And because of that also, the word, the spirit of adoption, it means the placing as a son. That is sonship. And we know this to be true that we are all foreknown of God from the beginning of time. Before the world exists, before creation exists, God already knew us and He called us by name. Alright, He has chosen us. We have not chosen God. We did not choose God, but God chose us. And because He chose us, everything is in His hand. And because He chose us for the foundation of the world, He gave us a spirit of sonship to begin with. You understand? And so unless we have the spirit of sonship before the foundation of the world, we can never be sons and daughters of God. Do you understand that? Okay? So the word adoption is that He picked us up because of His foreknowledge. He chose us, He picked us, and He adopted us and placed us as His son. Okay? Now let us go to Romans 8. Now read from verse 18 to 23. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who have subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that this whole creation groaned and travailed in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grow within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is, the redemption of our body. So now, we are children. Then, because we are children, the Bible says, we are heirs. Right? And then, because we are heirs, we are joint heirs. Alright? With Christ. Automatically. Okay? Heirs and joint, then we become joint heirs with Christ. Because why? We are part of that word that is Christ Jesus Himself. Now all these are promised as we see here. Now let's go right now to 2 Thessalonians 1:10 and look at that verse. 2 Thessalonians 1:10. Now, it says here, when Christ shall come to be glorified in His saints, to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. When Christ shall come to be glorified in His saints. Alright, now go back to Romans 8 again, where the passage we are looking at. Paul here in this chapter 8, from verse 14 onwards. Remember that Paul is dealing with the Christian. All these words in the Bible is written are for believers. They are not for unbelievers. Do you understand that? We know that the gospel is written as a form of letters to talk about Jesus Christ, present Christ to the world. Is that right? But when the gospel is preached to the common people out there, what is the word targeting? To whom is the word of God targeting? The targeting sinner who are already foreknown of God will be a part of His kingdom. So the gospel is not for everybody. We know that Christ did not come to die for the righteous, so to speak. Though He died for all as a redemption, as a propitiation. And yet, only those who have the spirit of sonship before the foundation of the world, when God knows them and already chosen them. Okay? So the gospel, the word of God is to go, it's a goes forth to reach out to those that are His and call them back to the Father. Do you understand that? So when Paul wrote this part here, remember this. He's talking about, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So unless, if you are not led by the Spirit, you cannot call yourself sons of God. You can say that you are a son of God, but until you are led by the Spirit, you are not. I always emphasize that. Now Paul here talks as he go right down how that God gave us the spirit of adoption. But then also when he goes right down to verse 18, he says that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. But why did God allow us to go through this problem? Why? It's because that we may later on be put on the stage and be manifest to the world as His children. That's not when you talk about the manifestation of the sons of God. So when now we are being adopted, when we are being adopted, God has to place us in the position later. But at this moment in time, we have to grow. We are a child of God, we have to grow as a child of God. Until we reach the state where we are matured, that we can sit with Christ in His throne and judge the world. Alright, so here Paul then said that the earnest expectation, verse 90, of the preacher wait for the manifestation of the sons of God. So, even when Paul wrote this book at that time, it hasn't been fulfilled yet. We are still waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So when is the manifestation of the sons of God? When would the manifestation of the sons of God take place? It will take place in the future, when Christ comes to be glorified in His saints. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints, to be admired by those who love Him. Right? He will come to glorify in His saints. Why? Because we are part of His body. And we will sit with Him in that period of the reign, of His reign, or in the age of regeneration for 1,000 years. And the world will notice who we are. Now, when we talk about this subject of the adoption or manifestation of sons of God, remember one thing. Even though now you are adopted sons of God, when people look at you, you tell them, I'm a son of God, or I'm a child of God, I'm a son of God, they will look at you and they'll laugh. Is that not true? Because they don't see you as who you are. But God look at us as who we are. We are His child. We are His children. But the world do not see us as that. Do you understand that? Okay? So let us approach this again and see as to relationship with that which is presented of Christ Jesus. Now, the word, verse 19, manifestation. The word manifestation, it means revealing. Alright? It means the revealing. Oh, we call that the apocalypse. That's where you get the book of Revelation. Manifesting means to reveal. Okay, so it's a word for the manifestation of the sons of God. Wait for the revealing or the revelation of the sons of God to the whole world. Okay? And so we are waiting for the adoption of sons to manifest their position and their authority. Manifestation of the sons of God cannot be on this side of the rapture. It has to be on the other side of the rapture. Why? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. And you can read that verse, and also we can look at many other verses. But let me say this. In this body, there's nothing good. You agree with that? There's nothing good as far as this body is concerned. So, the manifestation of Son of God cannot take place at this time. Though there have been a teaching that has been going around in America in the earlier 20th century. They call it the manifestation of the sons of God. The way they taught it is that the Christian, those who endure with the power of God, they will be going around doing miracles, healing the sick, and so on. To them, that is the meaning of the manifestation of the sons of God. But as I said, manifesting of sons of God is not on this side. And though we have authority, though God has given us, Christian, the authority in His name to pray for the sick, for those who are demon possessed, or for anything, though we have the authority, we don't have it per se in a way that it will be fully manifest to the world after the rapture. The same thing when we look at Jesus Christ. It's just the same. Let me just show you that and make you understand. Let us go to the book of Isaiah 53, verse 3 to 11. Here we talk about how that Jesus Christ bore our sin. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3 to 11. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces with him. And he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought forth as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearer is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to have him put to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, he shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. So with this prophecy we already know that Christ bore our sin. So when Christ came, he carried our sin upon himself. Now, yet when Christ came, people look at Christ Jesus. Do they look at him, the ordinary people I'm talking about, except for the disciple who recognize him and accept him as the Lord. But for the common people, how many of the common people out there can you say they recognize Jesus to be the Son of God? They look at him as the carpenter's son. They look at him as perhaps an illegitimate child of Joseph and Mary. They did not see him and say, okay, this is the Son of God. No. Why? Because even though he was on this earth, when he started to minister the word of God, remember, as he went forth to preach the gospel, he is making known to the people the love of God, and that he is going to be, that he was the Messiah. But the people cannot accept that. And while he was preaching this, do you know that he was already carrying the sin of the world upon himself? He carried the sin of the world upon himself. Our iniquity was upon him. He carried our iniquity. He bore our pain and our sorrow. So now in that body of Jesus Christ, though he was sinless, yet he had your sin and my sin upon that body. Do you understand? And therefore, there was no manifestation of the Son of God, Christ himself, as the Son of God, to be able to tell the world, I am who I am, and you've got to listen to me. His authority was given to him over sickness, over sin, over death, but not over the people. Do you understand? Because they don't recognize him. They don't see him. Because he wasn't manifest as such. Okay. Let us go on to 1 Peter 2:22. 1 Peter 2:22. Who did no sin, neither was God found in his mouth. Alright? We are all there. So let us go to another verse scripture, Romans 7:18. Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find out. So now, for the Son of God, the sons of God to be manifest, as I said, the body must be redeemed. Even when Jesus came as the Son of God, he did not, when he was not displayed to the world or even to Israel as the Son of God, for they don't recognize him. The Bible said that he was to come through the lineage of Jesse to David, and he would be the son of David, sitting on the throne of David. But did they recognize him? No. Only for the disciple who recognized him. Yet the disciples still asked Jesus and said, "We are this time restored to us the kingdom." They were looking for the kingship. Messiah, when he come, only but Messiah when he come must be also king. That's why that's why the Jew missed Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Was because they expect the Messiah to come, they expect him to be king if he was the Messiah, which the Bible, Old Testament prophet prophesied of. But the thing that Christ must first do is that to fulfill Messiahship before he can fulfill kingship. That's not why he must die and the body be redeemed by. And they say, "I lay down my life and I will lift it up," so that his body will be changed. Until the body that is not corrupt, okay, until the body is changed into a spiritual body, it will not be able to sit upon the throne and be manifest as Son of God, even though he was the Son of God. Do you understand? Do you see? Okay? So there are two works we can say that Messiah must do, or Jesus must do. First, fulfill Messiahship. Then, fulfill kingship. Now, when he came, his body was sinless. We know that. But he bore the sin of the world upon him. So now, that body is contaminated, so to speak. It bore our sin. Okay? So if it bore our sin, it cannot manifest kingship. You understand that? Okay? So now, Jesus must take the sin, hang it upon the cross, remove it, okay, from the people. When he carried it, he bring it up to the cross and he hang it upon the cross. Right? Then he died and then he brought up the body up again. Okay? Now that body, the one he brought up, is a changed body. A body that is spiritual. Now for now, the spiritual body has no sin. Is that right? Now because what Christ did for himself, because he said, "I must lay down my life and then take it up," without a grain of corn dying, he would not bring forth much fruit. So because what he did, you and I would also resurrect. And when we resurrect, what kind of body would you and I have? The same kind of body. Do you see what I'm talking about? That's when Jesus, when he comes to be glorified in his name, when he comes to take us with him, and then in the millennium, we will sit with him. That's when manifestation of sons of God will appear. Do you understand that? Okay, but let us continue to get more words from the Bible so that we can understand. Let us go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. We already said in the book of Romans, Paul said that, "I reckon that the suffering of this time cannot be compared," right? Is that right? Now how many of you, let's be honest, okay, be honest, be sincere, okay? How many of you feel that being a Christian, to live a Christian life is really, really terrible? It's a very hard journey. That the journey, the pilgrimage that we are going on. How many of you have seen pilgrims progress? Okay, you know what I mean. You carry all the burden and all that thing. What about the burden we all have? Our burden is gone, right? Correct? Do you still have your burden on you? The burden of sin? No. Okay, you don't have the burden of sin on you. Okay. But you are going on this journey. Right? I don't know how many years you've been a Christian. Now, I have been a Christian for about 52 years now. I've been a Christian. I mean, 52 years. Yeah, that's a long time. I don't know how many years you have been. So, I don't know, no matter how many years you have been a Christian, how do you find the life as a Christian? How do you describe it? Is it a joyful life, or is it, grumble? Honest now. How many of you find this Christian life is a hardship? Let me see your hand. Mixed. Yes. Because you see, that's what Paul talked about, the suffering of this life. Because when we are faced with temptation, when we are faced with choice, you know, the right one and the wrong one, the good one and the bad one, you know, there is always this temptation to lure us away from the Word of God. So, and then you feel frustrated, I cannot do this, I cannot do that. Of course you are a Christian. There's a lot of things we cannot do because we don't belong to this world. If you want to live like the world, you will remain in this world. Because if you say, stop the world, I want to get out. You know, if you are in a car, if you have a problem in the car with the driver or whatever it is, or you are a driver and you have a problem with the passenger, you can stop the car and say, get out. Right. But this world, you want to tell the world, stop the world, I want to get out. You wish you could. We wish we could. You know, many of us say, oh, I don't know if the Jesus Christ come today. Or maybe I just sleep and then don't get out. So wonderful. Because I'm suffering in this world because there's so much problems, so much stress. Huh? But let me say this. Most of the time is that we don't want to give up a lot of our lifestyle, maybe vices. Huh? I said, Brother, what kind of vices do I have? Too much eating. Too much watching of TV program. Too much of, I don't know what. Huh? Vices are things that, you know, you spend time too much. You know. So, what then? You see. And you know, Jesus Christ said, you take up your cross and you follow me. And Paul said, this is the life that we live. And Paul knows that every day he faced death. Because he has a lot of enemies. The Pharisees and all, they'll come against him. And so he said, I die every day facing death. And I'm willing to die because I'm ready. Huh? Die to self. You know. Sure, I mean this life of my as a Christian. It's a mixed life. There's a lot of pain sometimes, a lot of frustration sometimes. But you know what? The moment I think about the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And the joy is in His Word. You don't get any other joy. You don't get joy from any place. The joy is from the Word of God, knowing what God has promised. Huh? What He has promised you. Right? His promises are many. And you hold to those promises. And you have the assurance, you have the faith, you have the revelation that you are His child. And that He being the author and the finisher of our faith, He will definitely finish it. And all you have to do is to walk in the light and be obedient. You see. So now, here what Paul wrote in this book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Concerning Jesus Christ. He said here, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of it, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Huh? He already knew when he came. When he was growing up as a boy, he knew who he was. He knew that he was to fulfill prophecy. Right? So he learned, he read the Bible, he went to the synagogue, the temple, and, you know, learning like every other young boy. You see. So when the time came for him to be baptized and start the ministry, he entered the river Jordan, baptized by John, he came out, then he was sent into the wilderness to be tempted. You know, for 40 days, before he ever started his ministry, he fasted. He knew that it wasn't going to be, well, a wonderful ministry, you know. You know, preachers like the Charismatic, like Benny Hinn, they have wonderful ministry because it's very simple. Huh? They preach all that so-called revelation and then collect all the money and make a big house, big car. A wonderful ministry. But look at the disciple. Look at Jesus. Look at the apostle when they... Look at the prophet of old as well. Huh? They don't have all those mansions like Benny Hinn, you know. Like all these charismatic preachers. They don't have a wonderful ministry to themselves. Their ministry is wonderful to the people to whom they were sent. So Jesus knew that when he started ministry, he's going to be better hard. So he went to the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days. Why? To get the strength. And so a lot of ministers don't even fast before they begin their ministry. You need to fast because you need to come to that place of what you really are, who God already called you, and God called you, you need to obtain that strength. And the joy of the Lord is the strength for Christ. Because why is it? For the joy, he said, for the joy that he was set before him, endure the cross. The joy that was set before him. God, you be kidding me. Did the Bible say, you see that? For who? For the joy that was set before him. I mean, he's going to die. You're going to die. How many of you are happy if you want to die? If you know that you're going to die very soon, and you're suffering, you know, you find that joy. I'm dying. But it's wonderful to be dead. I mean, nobody think about that sort of thing. That's a suffering. You know, he's facing not just that. He's facing a lot of suffering before he died. It's not just go, okay, I'm the Messiah. Kill me. And pierce his heart with a spear. That'll be simple, huh? No, that's not that. For the 3.5 years when he ministered, he felt the pain. The sorrow. Do you understand? And you know when he lay hands and touched those people, pray for them, do you know that he was identifying with them? He was identifying their sin. He was taking their sin upon them, their pain, their sorrow, their iniquity. He felt all of it. You know, that's what Paul's teaching in the book of one of his epistles. He told Timothy, lay hands suddenly on no man. Do not simply lay hands on people. Because laying on hands is an identification. You see. So Christ, knowing what he would do, but he faced it with joy. The suffering he knew that he must go through, yet to him it was a joy to fulfill, because why? He was accomplishing the word of God. What about you and me? What about you and me? Are we looking at our life knowing that, yes, this is the word of God. I have to fulfill what is written here regarding myself. I mean, don't forget, when you read the Bible, you're looking into a mirror. Right? You're looking into a mirror. When you look in the mirror, you know what you see? Yourself right there, whether you're clean, dirty, or whatever it is. Huh? But when you look into the Word, it's just the same. You're seeing your reflection in the Word of God. Whether you are up to that standard, whether your face is clean, whether your life is clean. Alright? And when the Word of God says something, do you have it with joy? Persecution will come, yes, sure. People will laugh at you, mock at you. I don't know, you know, in this world, we have a lot of people that are very cruel. Very cruel, very in what they call having no feeling. And you can see on the train how a lot of young people, they will sit on those reserved seats for the elderly, handicapped, and elderly comes and pretend we are asleep. You know? You know that? Now, do you know the balcony? When you go out there on the train, you're entitled to sit on that because you're already in the senior citizen. You know, whether you are handicapped or not, if you want to, you have the right. You know, brother, Sister Sharon, you can do that too. You know, that's what my wife did. When she goes into the train, when somebody sits there, a young man sits there, and says, you tell them, can I have the seat? And some have called, many of them just look. My wife will point to the sun, they have to get up. Some would not, you know. You have the right because you're entitled to that seat. But for me, of course, I don't bother, you know. Sometimes I feel like going there, that's my seat. You know, unless you're old enough to look, you know, sickening enough. You see. But people make fun of others. Well, I don't know, some of you sisters, you know, when you have your long hair and you bun up, and I don't know, some people laugh at you or not, I don't know. You know, they make fun of you because your hair is long and you have to put a bun, and they laugh at you. People are just cruel. And how you dress is important to you, or as important to as well, your, because that reflects your inside out. That's it. And I think all these are the things that is in life. We don't have any excuse. Oh, you know, I want to cut my hair because, you know, I have lines on my head. That's one of sister told me years ago. I said, always, she said, all long people long hair lice. He said, yeah, that's what the doctor said. Is it true that all people long hair have lice? There are people with short hair have lice too. You see. If you do not want to be conformed to the word of God, of the Lord, and you want to conform to the world, go ahead. You have your choice. Right? And it shows that, as the Bible said, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are really the sons of God. But don't tell me you are sons and daughters of God and you do whatever you want. You call yourself sons and daughters of God still. I think that'd be a shame. If you are a king or a prince, act like one, so to speak. I don't know whether you remember the story about an African who was a prince. You know, was a big slave. You know, they all bundled him into the ship. And then suddenly over to America. And this young man conducted himself like a prince. You know, he worked, yes, he was a slave, but he acted like a prince. Not grumbling and only crying, all that sort of thing, you know. And they noticed that he was different. And asked him, what is his background? He said, I'm a prince. And he conducted that one, even though he was mixed slave. You see. In terms of Jesus, he was the Son of God, he was King of Israel. Even though he was arrested, whipped, charged, and his head being hit by rods and whatever. And yet, he conducted himself. That's the way it is. And so, Paul said, with joy, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Now, do we have the joy to endure what's ahead of us as a Christian? Because you know what? That's just this life we're going through. After this is over, you know what's beyond. And I'm looking at what's beyond and not at this life actually. Right? Knowing that this life is just come and go. And then I'm just going to walk through, fulfill it, and then I'll go over the other side. Across the bridge, there will be no more sorrow. Just go across the bridge, and there will be no more pain. As the song goes. Alright? Okay. Romans 8:22. Why we go back again? Now, it says, for we know that the whole creation groaned and travailed in pain together until now. Groaning, and waiting. Oh yeah, I think that now we are living in the year 2012. 2012, I'm so sorry. I have carried the old year into the new. We actually complain sometimes you forget that we are still in I mean, no, we're not still. We are in 2013. Right. And look at the year we are in now. There have been a lot of wondering, discussing, when is Jesus going to come? You know, if we talk about 2,000 years, from Adam to Abraham, from Abraham to Christ, 2,000, 4,000, from Christ to His coming, another 2,000, 6,000, right? But we already seem to be, we are already well past 2,000 years from the day that Christ was born. Right? If we did, right, it's 2013, so it's already well past 13 years or so. If you count prophetic time, even it's way beyond. If they want to use 360 days. Right? You see. But so how long do we have before Christ comes? Oh, everybody, we're always wondering. We always look at the Bible for signs and prophecy and types and shadows. Oh, maybe Christ will come such and such a year. We have 40 years, or 50 years, we have 70 years. And we are looking at types and shadows, as I said before, if Christ, when He came, until the destruction of Jerusalem, 70 years. Rebirth of Israel in 48, another 70 years, 2019. Will Christ come by 2019? Or even earlier, before He goes back to the Jew? We are looking at signs in the Middle East. We see Syria problem. We see the political unrest. We see the economic crisis. You know, America is going to collapse. In fact, it already collapsed, but they're still trying to prop up the dollar. You know. Right? So what happened if the American dollar economy collapsed? It affects the world. What about climate? What about the weather? What about the food resources? The people of the world blame the Japanese for eating all the fish in the sea. For their sashimi. Huh? So, the world is depraved there, you know? They build land, more people, more land space we take out for building. What about farming? And I can tell you this year, 2013, I think we're going to see more disaster. Because it would not stop. The Bible said there would be more earthquake, more flooding, more of this, more of that. It will multiply and it keep on going. And the earth is already tilted. Don't know how many millimeter, you know. Already tilted. That's why we have all this water level rising up. So how long do we have? And how long do you want to live? You know, I'm 65 coming next week. That's not too bad a year. But I just want the Lord to come. But then I'm 70. I'm looking, I said, Lord, don't grow any older, you know. 70 will be a good year for Him to come. Of course, I'll be changed. I'll be changed to a prime age of around 30 years old. Watch it. You're going to be sure I'm going to get it. You see. So we are looking for that. And that's, Paul said that this suffering, this travailing, the groaning, is part of God's purpose. Because we already know, it says here in verse 20, for the creature was subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him they are subject to shame in hope. This suffering was not forced upon us. Do you understand? But it was a plan in such a way that God gave the choice. So the other thing, of course, always go back to God. Good or bad, still go back to God. Because God said, I create good and evil. But not in a direct way. Still, He's the source. People say, you know, a lot of people when they're upset, they say, well, why God, you allow these things? You can stop it, can't you? Like people when you talk about, to a singer about, you know, they need to be saved, or what's housing came, they'll say, so if fall into sin, right? Yeah. Then God is all powerful, right? Yeah. Oh, why can't God, why don't God stop it? If God stops it, we won't have this problem. Yeah, you know, they see it this way. But they don't see the way that God purposed to bring out something far better. And that's the thing we all don't see. We only look in this life. Even as Christians, many of us, we only look at this life. You know, I was talking to the brother in the state, one of the brothers in the state. You know, he said, you know, brother again, anytime I go to bed, I wonder about 3 months later from now, what's going to happen? You know, then I wonder another few more months, what's going to happen if I don't have a job? You know? And then I get so, when I wonder so much, yeah, I could not sleep. So that's the problem. What do you wonder? I don't know, I just wonder. You wonder for what? You wonder about 3 months now when you lost your job or there's no food or what? Or your children is sick. You know what I mean? His mind is wondering. I said, you know, that's no good. So how many of you wonder? I do. At one time, when I resigned from the job, when God says resign, do this full time. Yeah. And then you know what? The brother who split the church took the whole chunk of, took all his people back, you know, to himself. Because he believed in the fourfold ministry, so he left. So, what happened? The church is back to where? To the group that God had given me. And then he called me up and said, "America, now that we are split, how is your tithes and offering going to support you?" I said to him, "Brother, don't you worry. If God did not call me, I go back to work. I will stop at the bottom." I said, "Go back to work." You know, when you go back to work, you stop at the bottom up again. Right? I said, "I'll go back to work. Don't worry about that." And you know, for about 2 years, I had nightmare. Oh yes. I don't know, in the daytime I don't think about it, but it comes in the dream. You know, I found myself going back to work again. Oh, I'm working as a nurse again. You know. It went on for some time. Until after one day it disappeared. It's only that I don't worry in reality. It only comes in the dream. And it's back. It disturbed me in the dream. You know, wonder why, how come you're back to work? So we all worry at times, but don't worry unnecessarily for what? Today, as the Bible said, there's so much evil for today. What think about tomorrow? And we know who holds tomorrow. And if we know who holds tomorrow, let's just stop worrying. Right? But trial and tribulation will always be. Persecution will always be there. Huh? You can't run away from it. Alright. Okay, now, this groaning, as we read chapter 8, verse 18 to 23, one more time. Let us read, because I want you to see what Paul is talking about. "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Obviously, you cannot compare. No way that you can compare. You cannot say your suffering is worse than what is to come. That's not true. Okay? There will be people, I mean, back in those days of Paul, there are a lot of them were taken as slaves. A lot of Christians were mixed slaves. Right? In the dark age, you see how many Christians would make to be tortured? I mean, taken to be tortured? They persecuted, they died. Burned at the stake. No stretcher on the table. You know? Cut off their finger or whatever. They really tortured them. And then, you think about the suffering that they have in the dark age. Huh? And right now here we have everything here, we still grumble. We grumble about the train being late, the bus being late. Huh? We grumble about what? About everything in life, because why? When life is good, we grumble too much. When life is bad, you don't find time to grumble. Really, that is true. Okay? So we are going through all that, the corruption we have to go through in this body, you know, your toothache. Yeah. You got your flu, you got your backache, you got broken bones, and you have a problem in your joy. Of course, you all grow old, we all have problems. Okay, this is part of life. And he goes on to say, "For the earnest expectation of the creature, wait upon the manifestation of the sons of God." Wait. I don't think many of us like to wait. We want things to be in a hurry. We want things to be instant. Isn't that right? You sure? But we have to wait for this. And the waiting is, well, can be very tedious. And we are still waiting for the coming of the Lord. But don't lose the blessed hope that we are looking for. Alright? For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him that who had subject the same in hope. So God permit this thing to be. Remember this. Permit this thing to be because he had a plan already been way back before the foundation of the world. When he chose us. But he has a plan that he wants to give us a far better body than this body that you have. Because the creature itself, what creature? The creature itself also has been delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God, all creation. The creature, whatever is out there that God created. Alright? They are all waiting. Because the creature itself shall be delivered, they are waiting also to be delivered. From the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's why in the millennium, what happened in the millennium? There will be no death. Because Satan is bound for 1,000 years. The lamb will be sitting beside the lion. A child will play with snakes, vipers, poisonous snakes. There will be no harm. You see? All these are the promise of God. And if we tell this to the people in the world who do not believe in the word of God, they just shake their head. They say, cannot be. No? Alright. For we know that the whole creation groan and tribble in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also. Not only that the creature is groaning. The earth itself is travailing. The earth is shaking. Right. And then we, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves, glory within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Hey, here is another one, waiting for the adoption. Same word. But there are two adoptions we want to talk about here. The first, we already are born again. When we are born again, we have received the Spirit of adoption. Well, we can call God our Father. So we are adopted, huh? We are now sons and daughters of God, if you are born again. So our first adoption is the soul, the spirit. We are redeemed. How many of you, we sang the song just now, we sang it just now. I'm redeemed by love divine. Is that right? I'm redeemed. So you are redeemed, the soul, the spirit. Because the Spirit of God quickened our spirit and make it alive. So we are born again inside. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. So when our spirit is quicker, our souls make alive, so we are redeemed. You understand? Because God works from inside out, so we become a son of God. Yes? But here he's saying again, verse 23, even we ourselves grow within ourselves, waiting for the adoption that is the redemption of our body. So now, what Paul is telling us is that our body must be changed. Adopted, changed, redeemed, and put on the stage. So that people can see. Alright, so we are going to look into the order of God's redemption is firstly, now we know that in creation God created the green first, the green thing, the herb and the greens, and then he created the animals and then man. But in the redemption, because man brought the fall, so man must be dealt with. Redeem man and all the animals and the herb will be redeemed back. Alright? Okay. Verse 15 to 16 here.
Remember this, that we have this spirit of adoption, for we have received the spirit of, not the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bears with our spirit that we are the children of God. So remember this first part, 15 and 16. The moment that we have received the spirit of God, alright, we have the witness of the spirit that we are his son. It means we have the spirit of adoption. That's the first part. The second part is in verse 23. The redemption of our body. Now this is the second one. This is the adoption. To wit, you know what the Bible here said? Waiting for the adoption, that is the redemption of our body. So there are two phases. I want you to remember this. Even as Christ came the first time as Messiah, he's going to come back second time as King. Right? First time to deal with the soul, taking the sins of the world. Okay? The second time when he resurrected us, he will sit with us, together with him, as King. Alright. Let's go to 1 Peter 3, 18. 1 Peter 3, 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Romans 8, again, back to Romans 8, and we look at verse 9. For you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelt in you, now any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, the first thing is, he works in the inside. Out. Okay? Alright. So we are all now children of the living God. We have the spirit of adoption. We cry, Abba, Father. Okay? And then in the Christ, after he comes, when we go into the millennium, then we will be manifested as sons and daughters of God. Now let us look at the example of Christ Jesus. Matthew 3, 16. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Okay. We know that Jesus Christ, when he was born, sinner's child, but not yet been filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. Have not yet been incarnated by the Word for the ministry. So he grew up like an ordinary child. Learning, as the Bible said in the book of Luke, increase in knowledge, you know, in favor with God and man. He grew in knowledge, in wisdom. He grew. He doesn't have everything. He doesn't know everything, but he grew. You understand that, huh? Because he's a human being. Okay? But in him is that spirit of sonship that was already placed before the foundation of the world. You see? So when he grew up to the age of 30, he went to the river Jordan. Now, is when the Word of God was incarnate in him. That's when the Word of God came upon him. Now here is where many people get all confused with the Godhead issue. Even like the brother I was talking to yesterday. You know, if we don't understand the Godhead, then we get all messed up. Remember that Jesus, we know that he was the Son of God. He was to be the Messiah. But when he was born, he was not the Messiah. You understand that? You can call him the Son of God, yes. Because he was already by foreknowledge God's only begotten Son. He wasn't the Savior yet. He was human as human could be.
God has not even tabernacled in that flesh. Nothing was even revealed. Right? But Jesus, even though he was a boy growing up, he knew who he was. He knew who he was. Do you understand? So that's why he learned and grew in wisdom. And he knew the time would come when he would have to take the sins of the world upon himself. As a boy, he did not take the sin of the world upon himself. Not yet. Okay? As a man, he hasn't even taken the sin of the world because he hasn't begun to preach the word. He hasn't even declared the gospel. Do you understand? So when he stepped into the water, and when he came out of the water, this is what God said. Said, the Bible here said, when he was baptized and went up straightway out of the water, the heaven was opened and the Spirit of God descended like a dove and lighting upon him. The Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. Now, as I said, God is a spirit. Now, when we say God is a spirit, it does not mean that he has no shape. That's what a lot of people think, that God has no shape. You know, God is not, to some people, you know, when I was in denomination, that's what I was taught. God is a spirit, he's like a vapor. You know, there's no shape floating around. He's everywhere. Then I began to say, oh, God is in this cup. He's in my pocket. Hello. You know that kind of thing? He fills every crevices and every crannies, every hole. No, he's not. Open your mouth, and God is inside. I mean, the kind of a mentality, God is in your ear, God is in your nose, because he fills every space. The kind of image that they are talking about. They are saying that he does like, oh well, he does like air, because that's what the spirit is. The word air, spirit means air. It's the same word. But it's not what it means. And then you know what, when you begin to understand that God, the Bible said in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, that let us create man in our own image and after our own likeness. The image is a spiritual sight of God, the shade. You know what a shade is? It's a blur something. It's not a shadow, it's something that is blur, you know that it's spirit form. But it has a shape. And after our likeness, well, we know the angels are spirit also, but the angel has a form, isn't it? So the angel has a form, and the Bible says we are all created in the same image and likeness of God, and we are like this too. The angel must look like this. And Jesus looked like this. So what do you think a father look like? I mean, talk about like father, like son, you know what I mean? God has a shape, God has a form. It cannot be of any funny form to a lot of people. It's a round form, it's a square form, it's an oblong form. And I don't know what form. Form like a cloud? No. You know, even though we understand what it is, a lot of people still do not believe that God has a form just like us. You know that? Spirit, but like us. You see. So when we see this, that when God's Spirit is set upon Jesus, I mean, of course it's impossible. God doesn't want to show himself. So how would John the Baptist know that the Spirit of God has come down upon Jesus? It's said by a dove. But yet when we said about the Spirit of God entering into Jesus Christ, we do not mean that all of God is in Christ Jesus. So when we talk about spirit, what does it mean? It doesn't mean necessarily the person, the being itself. It means you talk about the life of that being itself. Now you look at, for example, you have the Spirit of God in you. You don't have the Spirit of God, put your hand. You have the Spirit of God in you, I have the Spirit of God in me. So God is here, God is in you, how many gods are there? It's not like that, you're talking about the spirit of life. So when the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus, John had this witness that God now is imparting his life fully into Christ Jesus to do the work. That way we call it incarnation. You understand? In a simple word, God and Murphy, he put on flesh in Christ Jesus. That is to say that as you read in John chapter 1,
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But when the Word and the God, it has two different things, altogether separate identity. The Word and God. Here the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What does it mean? You cannot say, God is the Word. God is not the Word. The Word is God. Don't say it the other way around. I always said, Lord, I said it the other way around. And I said, the Word is Jesus. No, the Word is not Jesus. The Word was made flesh, he said, made manifest in the flesh of Jesus so you could see His glory, as John said in the book. But theology and tradition brought it out in such a way everybody is confused. Jesus said, the Word that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The Word that I speak, they are spirit and life. Word, spirit, life. The life is in the Word. And the life, amen? But the life of this Word that Jesus speaks is from the Spirit of God. Do you understand that? So when we talk about life that God is imparted upon us, His life, what does this mean? We can say, yeah, God is in us. Sure, we can say God is in us. Why? Because the Word is there. Why? Because the light is there. The life of God is given to us to quicken us, make us alive. So we use term, yes, very common term, God in us, God in you, God is in this Word. But what are we talking about? We're talking about the life of God. God is always, as the Bible said, heaven's my throne, earth my footstool. Right? So God is always in heaven. Earth is where He works. And how does He work? He put His Word in His prophet, He put His Word in His apostles, evangelists, and so on to work. He put His Word in your life so that you can reveal Christ to the world. A lot of people cry so hard, I don't know, I understand, because I guess it's messed up Christianity. You see that? So now the Spirit of God came upon Jesus Christ. Now He is filled with the Word of God to what? To reveal Christ. To reveal God. That's why He says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Why? Because from baby until 30 years old, Jesus Christ grew up reading, growing wisdom in God, and He pleased the Father. Do you understand? So now He's adopted. You know what I mean? To what? To show the world now. When He was young already, the world, nobody knows. Oh, that's a carpenter's son. Right? Just a carpenter's son. Oh, he's my neighbor. If you live next door to Jesus, he said, that's my neighbor. They don't know who he is. But now, because he was filled with the Word, now he's adopted, so to speak. He used the Word, because why? He's now going forth to declare God. So when you have received the Spirit of God in you, you're adopted. So what do? Sit at home and shake leg, watch television, and worry your life. All is upon is the Word of God in you that you suppose you are to declare God in your life. Do you understand? That's what it is in this life. When Jesus was on earth in His life. But over on the other side, something happened. Okay, let's continue. Matthew 17:5. Heal with that which is all mouth transfiguration. 17:5. While He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overwhelmed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Say, in my well pleased, right? Hear you Him. Now today, we say things, nobody want to hear us. When Jesus was preaching, okay, they hear Him, they hear Him, but they don't hear any authority except that declared on the Father, like on this Mount Transfiguration. To whom was made known? To the disciples. This is my beloved Son. Now you hear Him? Now what was that Mount Transfiguration all about? It was about what? The kingdom of God come with power. Remember? The kingdom of God come with power. Remember? Because when we sit
in the kingdom of God in that period, in the future, everyone will hear us. Now nobody wants to hear you. They say you're man. But when we sit with Christ in His throne in the age of regeneration, we become manifested sons and daughters of God. They will not hear us. The world will have to hear us because we rule as sons and daughters of God. Prince and princesses. That's all we are. Okay. Matthew 28, 19. Well, we know what that is now. Matthew 28, 18, sorry. And Jesus came and spake unto them, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. See now? Now he got all power. But he was on earth at that time. No, he doesn't have all power. Right? But when we go over that time, we all have all power too, because we are part of Christ. When we sit and rule with Christ, the people have to hearken to our authority. You see, because we are manifest the Son of God, because the people of the world will then know that these people, they are God's children. Because our body is changed. Now you understand that now. First, Ephesians 3. Ephesians 1, sorry. Go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and here we see in verse 3 onwards, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And you know you should read Ephesians, huh? I mean, this is a beautiful book. It tells us who we are even before we are born. God has chosen us, and blessed us with all spiritual blessing. Okay? And He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. Having predestined us, verse 5, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. You see, having predestinated us, that means before we ever exist, God already predestined us to the adoption of children. So when the word came, we are adopted. Because He already predestined we should be adopted. You got it? And they're wonderful. Okay. According to the good pleasure of His will. According to His good pleasure. So if He wants to put us to go through some trial and tribulation and persecution, please do not grumble. Got it now? I hope you are. I hope we don't grumble too much. Even though when we buy something that is rotten. Ah, this is a rotten apple. Yeah, we do. We all are upset. Yeah. But I think that we all learn as we go on. I mean, we are not perfect overnight, right? Correct? Yeah, usually when I buy a little thing that's, you know, bad, you know, I get very upset. But now, this is one of those things, what to do? Made in China. Oh, we just said that, the house. So the more that we grow, the worse we become. We get very upset, really. Sometimes we can think about it and say, well, $20, this thing works like that after 3 weeks and goes out there. What to do? You know. So we learn from it because the world is not going to get any better. The product of the products that we are buying today are not as good as it was 10 years, 20 years ago. Huh? Those days, yeah, the thing lasts long. Today, it doesn't. You see. Correct? Even your car. He said, Nick in Japan. No. Nick in China. That's what you get. And you'll be happy with it after about 5 years. Okay. So just rejoice in what we have and live with it. And let's continue. To praise the glory of His grace, wherewith He has made us accepting the beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace, wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. I like that. Mystery of His will. Everything is a mystery. It's a mystery. But we know the mystery now. Who we are. All we have been before Him. Before the foundation of His chosen us. So we know all these things. But to the world, it is foolishness.
Having been known to us the mystery of this world, according to his good pleasure, we have purpose in himself. He is a potter, we declare whatever he desires. Verse 10. Then in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. To whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worked all things after the counsel of his own will. I like that. All counsel of his own will. Whatever his purpose to do, whatever he wants to do, he's the potter. Right? In verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, first trust, that we should be to the praise of his glory. If he purposed to us go through all the trial and tribulation, okay, let us rejoice. Now to the purpose of his glory, that, you know, Christ looked at us, you know, that we're going to suffer. When God looked down in the dark ages, in the dark age, all right? When you see all these people are being led to the slaughter by the Catholic Church, you think that God doesn't feel the pain? He could have put a stop to everything, you know? But he didn't. Because why? He must work out his purpose. That death is only a while. Pain is only a while. And that's all over. Okay? Verse 13. In whom you also trust, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I like that one. We were sealed with the Spirit of promise. Okay, having the Spirit of Christ, when we have the Spirit of Christ, the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit is to lead us into all truth and guide us into all truth. Lead and guide us into all truth and show us things to come. That's the thing. That's what the Holy Ghost is given for. Okay, once you have the Holy Ghost, you are being guided and led by the Spirit. So if you are guided and led by the Spirit, the only way he could lead and guide you is by his word. Okay, the Spirit will guide according to the word that he had, you know, laid down these 66 books. And if you are doing just exactly what the Spirit of God is doing in your life, following him, then you can call yourself sons of God, daughters of God. Is it? And not otherwise. Now a lot of people said, I go to church, I'm born again. And they dress the way they dress, they behave the way they behave, there's no change in life, something is wrong somewhere. Because the Spirit of God's life is real. It's a life of holiness. It's a life of godliness. It's a life of truth. It's a life of faith. Right? And he, as Paul said, I'm a prisoner of Christ. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. You see that? That's true. So how can we live the way we want to live and still call ourselves Christian? We can't. We really can't. You see. Oh, I know there are a lot of people that are backslidden. They are in this shape. But as I said this, and I'm very, very sure that God does not have bastard children. And if he doesn't have bastard children, those who are backsliding and doing what they want to and still call themselves Christian, God is going to break their leg, break their hand, if necessary. You know. Look at Jonah. Jonah knew who he was. He was a prophet of God. God says, go there. No, Lord, those are wicked people in the Nineveh. No, I don't want to go there. But you see, a human being is, human feeling is like that. Those people are bad, I don't care. But God's love is different. God's love is about love towards and grace towards these people. No, Jonah, go! No, Lord, no. So he took he said to go the other direction. What do you think God's doing? God can let him go, yeah, sure. But God got him into big trouble. In a big whale, and let him spend 3 nights in the stomach of the whale. In the stomach of the whale! I don't know what the world eat and all the smell in the stomach, I don't know. Three nights there. Perhaps he said, oh Lord, forgive me, Lord. And I say, okay, I know, I forgive you, but you stayed there for 3 days, 3 nights. Oh, what do you think happened to us? I mean, God has dealt with me, you know, about certain things in my life. It's painful, but you learn from that, you realize, oh, yeah, because God loves us. If God don't deal with us, I mean, we're not God's children.
look, we are busted. Because he loves us, he has to deal with that. He has to chastise us. Right? And as the Bible says, the chastening of the Lord is not grievous. Right now? Yeah, you don't like it for a moment, but he wakes you up. You see? Don't spoil the rod, because you'll spoil the child. Like milk. You see? So the same thing, don't spare. So the same thing, God will not spare his word on us. His word become like a rod. He will have to deal with us, and you know, ours will be spoiled. Amen. Alright, let me close with now. Philippians 3, 13, 21. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 to 31. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting all those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be likewise minded, God will reveal even this unto us. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followed together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have asked for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who minded earthly things. But our conversation is in heaven. That is our life, is in heaven. And from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Amen. Ephesians 4, 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. I know many times God shook his head when he see the way we behave. Sure. Grieving the Holy Spirit. 1 John 3:1-3. 1 John 3:1-3. 1-3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world know us not, because it knew him not. How can the world know us, who we are right now? Can it? No. They don't even know who Jesus was when he was around. Right? See? Huh. And beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it do not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that have this hope in him, purify himself, even as he is pure. So, we are sons of God. We are daughters of God. The world look at you, he tell them, I'm a son of God, you know. He say, you're a son of God. Walk on water. They will ask him. You know, that sort of thing. They'll make fun of us, he say. You know. But when the day comes when we shall be manifest, then they will know. Okay, Colossians 1. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That in all things he might have the preeminence. Verse 24. Who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is Christ. You see, Paul even has a minister of God. He even suffered for the church. Christ suffered for his bride. Even Christ for the church that he founded. He even willing to suffer for that sin. 1
Okay? Alright, so that's why we must always fulfill the word. Luke 17:20. Here we see what Jesus said to the people at that time when they were together with him, and he said in verse 7, Luke 17:20. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." So what is the kingdom of God? You are the kingdom of God, right? You are part of the kingdom of God. You understand that. But yet the kingdom of God is not being seen with your eyes. It's seen because of the spiritual, because you are the Holy Spirit is in you. The kingdom of God represents by a king, and that is the Spirit of Christ. You understand? You can say, "Oh, this is a kingdom, there is a kingdom now." The kingdom of God is mystical. It's the body of Christ all over the world. Do you understand that? Okay? Alright. John 3, 7 to 8. Well, here we have Nicodemus talking to Jesus, and Jesus said, "You must be born again." And Jesus said in verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto you, must be born again. The wind blow where it list, and thou hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it come and whither it go. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." So you see, we are born of the Spirit. The Spirit here is likened unto wind. The word wind, as it said in verse 8, it says in verse 8 here, the Spirit or the wind blow where it list. The word wind here means, from the same word, it means pneuma. Okay? The wind, the Spirit. It's the pneuma. It blows as well, it goes as it will. To bring those that are God's children into the kingdom of God. And of course, later on, in verse Revelation 1:6, and all these other verses where we can see in the book of Revelation, the kingdom of God will then be set up in the age of regeneration. After the rapture, the kingdom of God will be set up. Revelation 1:6. "And he shall make us king and priest unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever." Chapter 5 verse 10. "And he shall make us unto God king and priest, and we shall reign with him on the earth." Revelation chapter 2 verse 26. And 27. "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nation. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessel of a potter shall they be broken to shiver, even as I receive of my Father. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nation." What is the work that God said you must keep? The work of the Holy Spirit within your life to fulfill His Word. Remember in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, we are God's workmanship. We are not doing a work for God. God is doing a work in our life. God is working a work in our life to fulfill His Word. Remember what Jesus prayed also? Alright? It is God's Word sent to us to do a work in our life. So we are God's workmanship. He's doing something in us. Do you understand? Okay. And Revelation 3:21. The last verse we read at close. Revelation 21. "To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne." Overcome. So, first adoption, your soul, your spirit. You are sons of God right now. But the world will not see us as we are. Sure. And we are not yet even sitting on the throne with Christ yet. Right? Sure. But yet you are sitting in heavenly places with Christ in the spirit. Yes? But the second one is, when the body is redeemed, then we'll see with Christ in his throne. Christ can never sit in it on the throne of King David as king until his body is changed. A bound body is a sick body. As Paul said, there's nothing good in this body. Until death is overcome, alright, then Christ will sit as king.
His body changed. He seen the kingdom as a king of Israel on the throne of David, and he will judge Israel. You understand? And he will judge the world. We, our body is redeemed because there's no more sin in the body. You understand? It's no longer a corrupt body anymore. It's no longer a vile body. At this present moment, the body is still sickly. It's still filled with corruption, decay. But when the body is redeemed, we are set on throne, then the world will see us as manifested sons and daughters of God. Amen. So you understand this? Okay, God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for thy word of truth, Father Lord. We ask for your grace. That you continue, Father, to give us revelation, knowledge in thy word, and to know, Father, your life and your purpose in us, Father. We know that your word is given to us that we may walk in the light of it. And we know the Lord, even as the word is given to us, you're always there, Father, to work that word of yours into our life. That we will be likened unto Jesus Christ, who for the joy, O Lord, of things that were set before him, endured to the cross. He faced it, Lord, with joy. Yet, Lord, in his heart there are much pain and sorrow because of what he felt of the people of the world when he took all those sins and sicknesses upon himself. Yet, Lord, with great joy he fulfilled it. And we are thankful, Father, for this. That likewise, when his body was broken up for us, he said, take, eat it. This is my body given to you all. And when we partook of the word of life, Father, it filled us with joy. Because the word of God is life to us. It is joy to us because it tells us who we are. And we are so happy, Father, to be able to call you Abba, Father, knowing that, Lord, we have been adopted. And we are looking forward to the day when our body will be redeemed. And then we will sit with Christ Jesus our Lord, and to the world we will be manifested as sons and daughters of the living God. Father, we thank you. Bless this day now in Jesus' name. Amen.